Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host, Dee Boggetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Greetings, Bark Radio listeners. We have something really fun for you all today, and I'm going to let Terry tell you about it because he knows more than me.
Well, we have Pat Bennett from Wicked Coursing here today to talk about lure coursing. Welcome, Pat.
Hi, thank you very much.
So tell us a little bit about it, because for me, I found this on the Internet through LureTix, a group called LureTix.
Yes.
And absolutely, for my type of dogs, thought it would be perfect. But most people have never heard of it or even understand what it's about. Could you kind of give us a summary of what that looks like?
Sure. Actually, LureTix is mine as well. I own LureTix. It's an all-breed lure coursing club here in San Diego. Lure coursing is a chase sport. People always give me a blank look when I say I make lure coursing equipment. They look at me like I've said something in a language that they don't understand. And it's because very few people know about lure coursing unless they have a sighthound. Sighthounds being greyhounds, whippets, borzoi, any of the sighthound group. And if you do have a sighthound, then you probably know what lure coursing is because it is an AKC-sanctioned event, and you can get titles for your dogs, or your dogs can get titles for you in lure coursing.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
That's
pretty
darn cool. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, you can get lure coursing is an ASFA-sanctioned event as well, which is the American Sighthound Field Association. It's, in fact, LureTix at one point, we had a spinoff LCCSD, and I can't even remember what it's now, Lure Coursing San Diego, I don't know. I don't remember what it stood for now, even though I made it. But it was an ASFA-sanctioned group, and we did have one ASFA event where we handed out ribbons, and it just proved to be too arduous for my group to carry on. And the constraints of ASFA setting up the course per their regulations and getting a judge was very, very challenging. So we opted to stop doing that. But, yeah, if you've got a sighthound, you can get a title in lure coursing.
That's wild.
That's very cool. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so now tell the folks, Pat, what is it?
Lure coursing is think of agility without the obstacles, without a fence, and without the handler giving any commands. So what do you have left?
Yeah. Okay, so we got a dog and something.
You have a dog and you have running around on a field. And basically that's what lure coursing is. The dog runs after a lure, which is attached to a line, which is run by a machine at one end of the field. We go out and we lay the line out in a particular pattern. The machine has there's a couple of types of lure coursing. There's field lure coursing. There's open field lure coursing, which is where everything started. There's drag lure, which you can use in sprint or other types of straightaway racing. But lure coursing in general, the way we do it, is a very fast chase sport where the dog can run at whatever that dog's top speed is around a designated course out in an open grassy field chasing a lure that looks like prey to the dog. The dogs see it on that line. They see it moving. They're compelled. They can't prevent themselves from running after it. They have to chase it. It looks like prey to them, and it speaks to them on a very fundamental, basic level.
So
that's
now, what's
in a nutshell.
The typical length of the line?
The way we do it at LureTix, we set up maybe 400 to 425 yards, which is
wow.
It's huge. That's a run.
It is. Now in an ASFA event, you can have, you have to have a minimum of, I think it's 575 yards. And it's for a reason. Those sighthounds, when they start to run, when they get up to speed, they're not going to stop easily, especially the bigger sight. Well, not the wolfhounds, yeah, they have a problem stopping, but but the greyhound.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
and it takes them a while to get up to speed. But once they are up to speed, if you're in the way, you should probably move quickly because they won't stop. But typically our course for all breeds, because we have everything running from min pins all the way up to and including Irish wolfhounds, we have to keep it at a fairly moderately long course. So 400, 425 yards is about it. On an ASPA course or an AKC course, you might see 600, 800 yards. Some of these drag lures, they can go for a half a mile. Greyhounds don't have a problem running that.
Oh, I'm sure they don't, man. I'm guessing they absolutely love it.
Oh, yeah. They get out there, and we had one greyhound that used to run with us consistently. Her name was Jem. And we called her the reluctant greyhound because she would stand there. I'd start the lure, and she would stand there and watch it for maybe 100 yards. And once it got far enough away, it triggered something. You could just see the light go on in her little beady little eyes. And the light would go on, and she would just blast off and take off after that lure, and then there was no stopping her. It was great. It was really beautiful to see.
It was fabulous
so
to
cool.
watch,
yeah.
Man. Oh, yeah.
I'd love to see the different breeds run it because I just think
mm-hmm.
that'd be fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I have a DVD that shows all different breeds running, including my dog Lucy, who is the moving force behind both Wicked and Luritix. She's a six-year-old Bedlington. She'll be six in June. But she's just about 6 years old. She is an avid courser. She's slowed down a little bit since she started coursing. She can run four runs now instead of six.
Pretty darn good.
Still a good day.
It really is. But all breeds can and do run the lure. It's great exercise. It's really fundamental to healthy mental health on a dog to keep them exercised and content. And without hard work, whether that be agility or lure coursing or fly ball or swimming or, you know, whatever, without that you're going to have a dog that will create opportunities for mischief, shall we say.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're both going, yeah. Yeah, we know that picture real well.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, I've got cattle dogs, so if you don't entertain
oh, my.
Them, they'll find something to do.
They will. They will. They'll find complex fun. That's what
yeah.
That's a good way to put it. Now, I have a question for you, because I've never even seen this done. What happens when the lure gets to the end? Does it disappear? Can they pick it up at the end?
At the end, in an ASPA or AKC event, no, they typically don't let them catch the lure, which is not, in my opinion, the whole point is they're running after prey. They're hunting. They are running as fast as they can go and using everything they have, mind and body, to catch that prey. So at the end of the line, when it stops, you know, once in a while you got to let them catch it.
That would be their reward, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Otherwise, you're going to have a really frustrated dog on your hands. But, yeah, we let them catch it at the end.
Cool.
I have a very, very talented and well-trained crew. Everybody just runs right out there and steps on the line so the dog doesn't pull the line off of the machine, which they will. Especially the bigger dogs, they have a lot of power, and they can just, you know, pull it right off and keep going.
I have a hunch I know a lab at my house who would do that.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of yours who do
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Although some of the small dogs are formidable. I mean, Lucy, once she gets on that lure, forget it. It's not coming back, and it's going to get shredded immediately. she'll stand on it and just pull and pull and pull and shred the heck out of it. We have a little Welsh terrier named Amigo that runs with us regularly. Amigo is great. He the terrier, I love the terriers, but he's very funny. He races after that lure, and he stays right on it. And at the end, he'll catch it. And if you're not quick enough, he'll grab onto it. He'll grab not only the lure but the line, and will not let go. I mean, will not let go. And
it's mine.
Way,
I earned it.
Oh yeah. He clamps that jaw shut, and that's it. The only way I can get him to let it go, is to grab him around his stomach and just give him a little bit of a pull, and he just kind of goes, oof, and lets it go because he can't breathe anymore. But
he's like, all right, be that way, you know?
Yeah. But the lure, on a reversible course, which is called a continuous loop, it's driven by a continuous loop machine, and it's designed to run the line in a continuous loop. It's just like it sounds. You take a 400-yard piece of string, basically, and it's specialized string. It's not, you know, you're not going to go down to Target and buy this stuff. But you take this 400-yard piece of string, and you tie the ends of it together. And you, so now you have one continuous loop. Well, you loop that loop over a drive. It's basically a big pulley. It's a 10 to 12-inch wheel, a skinny wheel. It looks like a skinny wheel. It's basically a pulley. And you put the, and that's on the motor, the machine that drives this whole thing. And you loop it around there, and then the motor, when you hit the switch, the motor will run it in whatever direction you tell it to, because those are reversible. So when your dog gets down on the field and decides that it's now time to take a potty break in the middle of running the course, you can back that lure up when your dog is finished, after you've gone down with your bag and picked up what he's deposited, and you can reverse that lure and come back and engage the dog again and keep running.
So I'm kind of like picturing this in my head, and I'm not sure if I'm picturing it right or not, but in the continuous loop one, does that mean the dog goes barreling after it and then does this, you know, hits the brakes and does this big U-ey to come back the other direction? Is that the way it works?
Not usually. It takes becoming a seasoned, competent lure operator is an art, and it takes time. It takes a lot of experience to run the lure in a way that's not going to crash your dog or injure the dogs. There are injuries and some serious injuries associated with lure coursing. So if you have a lure operator who knows what they're doing, and you have a crew who is vigilant and alert and knows what they're doing, your incidence of injuries are going to go very low. You don't want to run a dog 90 miles an hour and then immediately reverse it while he's running in the opposite direction. You will have torn ligaments. You will have broken toes. You will have, you know, all kinds of injuries associated with that kind of twisting motion.
So it's about the operator.
It is very much about the operator.
And also, just to clarify, too, for turns and courses, there's use a pulley system, right? You put a pulley into the ground, and that guides the line. So you can do a square.
Wow. You can do a square. You can do a figure eight. You can do an inverted ice cream cone. You can do, in fact, if you look at my Wicked website, wickedcoursing.com, you can see some sample courses that I've designed and put up on the website. I have, in fact, I have the owner's manual for the machines that I build posted right on the website. You can see exactly what the machines look like, you know, what to do, how to lay things out, how to run everything, and I try to go to great lengths to educate new lure operators, basically new machine owners, on how to lay out a safe course and how to run their dogs. I spend a lot of time on the phone with people, my customers who purchase this equipment, teaching them what to do. And I also do hands-on consultation. I will go to your location for a fee, of course, but I will go to your location with part of my crew, and we will train you and your crew how to run events, how to become a seasoned lure operator. I am a certified pet first aid instructor, so I can certify your crew in pet first aid, so that everybody on the group, you know, everybody in your team is on the same page and they know how to manage these insane dogs that are running, some of them at 50 miles an hour. The fastest dog that we had on our course was a Whippet, and we clocked him at 51 miles an hour.
That's amazing. Oh, my God.
You know, they're insane. They're just wild.
So we actually, while we're talking, I pulled up your site, and we're looking at the equipment. We're actually looking at the Lure Baby, which is coincidentally the one that I purchased.
Yes.
Looking at that now, and that sort of leads in, because I'm excited about it. We're going to have a little party here once we get it up and I get used to, you know, working the gear. But, I mean, it's simple, yet it's complex, because if you look at it, it's not a lot of components, a motor, a battery, and a spindle, basically. And getting it all right and working, I think, is the science behind it. The equipment looks to be pretty straightforward, but
the design is very simple, and I've made it that way for a reason. After fighting with heavy, complicated equipment that was made by somebody else, I got tired of lugging it around and having it heat up and overheat and break and just not run properly. For the long run. So I decided, you know what, I can do a better job at this. I can design something that's simple, portable, that people can play with and have fun with, and is easy to use. And the Lure Baby fits that bill completely.
Well, good for you. And like Terry was alluding to, the party he's going to have for some of us and our doggies when he gets a proficient at this, perhaps we'll take video of a Newfoundland doing it.
We've had Newfies run.
I love it.
We've had Newfies. We've had they run very slowly.
I can imagine. Yeah.
They don't run the whole. Yeah, and they don't run the whole course. They run until they're tired, which is about 10 feet.
I'm done now.
Yeah, they're done. They're like, okay, that was fun. Yeah.
Hey, maybe we could do it with a relay with the Newfies, because our friend Paul has 5 of them.
Oh,
so they could just
go.
One could tap the next one, tap the next one.
That's it. There you go. That'll work. I think that'll work great.
But we're really, yeah, I'm excited too, because I've got one lab in particular who's a pretty darn good sprinter. And, yeah, I think we're going to have a good time with this.
You are. You are. If you get a chance to check out my customers page on Wicked Coursing website, you can see that these machines are very popular all over the world. I have more machines in Europe than I have in America. People
good for you.
Love these machines. Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer, uses one of my machines. In fact, on my website, you can see pictures of me and him and the first generation of the Lure Baby. It was somewhat smaller. It used different components, and I redesigned the internal, the guts of the thing, and it's just a killer little machine. It's great. But he uses it extensively at his ranch here in California.
Yeah, I did see the picture of that. And when I first saw the video, I started doing research. And to your point, there's some very complex devices out there. And some of them you look at and you're going, wow, that's just way over-engineered. And I looked a long time before I purchased. And, you know, I really think what you've got is very efficient, and I think it's going to be just a heck of a lot of fun.
Well, I know you're looking forward to it, and yours is, and you and I have talked about this, but yours has a new mechanism that I am that I've designed that I'm able to provide to people who want it. It's when you take a fishing reel, you'll notice that it has a little mechanism that goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth as the reel is pulling in the string, the line, right, the fishing line. That is, in the fishing industry, is called a level wind, and I'm sure that particular term is trademarked or copyrighted. I've designed something that is the same function, because on a drag lure like you have, a drag lure is different from a continuous loop. It is an open-ended piece of string that you can still lay out in a pattern on a course, but at the end, you don't tie the ends of the string together because you have a spool that's going to take that line right back into the case instead of a drive wheel pulley, right?
Right.
So your machine is a drag lure. You have to walk that line out every time you're going to run your dog. So you're going to run, you're going to lay the course out with the pulleys. You're going to run your dog, and then you have to put your dog in a crate because you'll be crazy by then. And then you're going to take the end of the string, and you're going to walk it out and lay it around the pulleys again. The pulleys are going to stay in the ground, but you have to keep walking that line out. It's good exercise for the handler, and it's a very good time to rest your dog between runs.
The drag line was actually a conscious decision because I looked at those continuous loop ones, and I didn't think that was something I want to do given the amount of space I have. I got a half acre that I can use. It's fenced in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, I just wasn't something I wanted to try and, you know, integrate into this property. So
that's a good choice. Now, I have run a continuous loop course in a horse ring, that's 220 by 110. That's as small as I want to go. It's very small. But you can do it if you are experienced enough so that you understand how to put the pulleys in the ground so you're not going to have too acute of angles. The angles are primary when you're laying out a course, because if you make them too sharp, your dog is going to turn too hard, and that's when you run into joint issues and injuries.
Well, you sound like the expert. We got the right person on the phone here today, Terry. Good job.
Well, I'm hoping that more people will learn about lure coursing for all breeds. And I get emails from all over the country. People want to have, you know, they want to take their dog to a lure coursing event, and there just isn't anything out there, which is another reason that I sell my little machines through Wicked Coursing. These are portable. You can use it in your own backyard. You can take it to the beach. You can take it to the park. You can take it to a school. Any place that there's grass, you can run one of these. But it would be great to have more lure coursing events for all breeds around the country.
Yeah, I agree, because there's nothing, at least around our area in Richmond, Virginia, there's nothing that I've seen. I've looked, because I actually wanted to go check it out. But at least the Internet's there, and I can watch on YouTube.
Yeah. That's true. In fact, some of my machines are out there on YouTube. There's a couple of clips on my website that people can go to and watch dogs run with a drag lure and the continuous loop. When we are the lure coursing provider at Wags for Wishes, which is Make-A-Wish event that we do on an annual basis. It benefits Make-A-Wish, but it is an enormous dog event, and it's kind of like Disneyland for dogs. Some of the video from our lure coursing event at Wags has made it up onto YouTube.
Very cool.
It's way fun. Yeah.
Well, Pat, we appreciate you joining us today. Definitely want to touch base with you again in a few months. Maybe we can do a second interview after we've broken in my lure baby and had some events here in my backyard.
Absolutely.
All right. Why don't you give the folks your website one more time?
My website, there are two of them. One is wickedcoursing.com, and that's wickedcoursing.com, and that's where you'll see the machines, and there's a couple of little clips of lure coursing. The other is luretics.com, and it's just like lunatics, because I made the name up, lure coursing lunatics, yes. So it's luretics, and that's luretics.com, and you'll see tons and tons and tons of pictures of dogs running these courses, and you'll learn everything you've ever wanted to know about lure coursing and how you can actually get started in your area.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you, Pat.
Thanks, Pat. We'll be talking to you again.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.